You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I love the attempt to try to transition to Jerry Jones.
I know.
So anyway, Jerry Jones. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. So there has been debate today on our show about Cinderella, in or out on the fact that there are no Cinderellas in the tournament, slash, do we actually have a Cinderella in the tournament? Peter Burns, SEC Network, is tweeting back at us at Unsports ESPN saying, wait a minute, look at NC State. Mm-hmm. They have all of the Cinderella qualities, except one thing. It's NC State in the ACC, and when you look at the men's tournament right now, there are some notes that I want to pass along, Smalls, to kind of point out there are no Cinderellas, and it's actually a good thing that there are no Cinderellas. So here we go.
Okay, I'm ready for the notes.
The notes are as follows. Why? You're laughing at the notes prior to the notes.
I'm ready for the notes.
Do you not want the notes?
I want the notes.
All right. Well, then don't laugh at the
come
notes.
Come on.
On my white legal pad.
That's why I'm laughing. It's the white legal pad.
12 of the top 16 still alive, right? Take the four seeds in each of the top four in each of the regions. 12 of them still alive.
Okay.
The favorites on Saturday and Sunday, round of 32, 15-1. Clemson and NC State, 6-11 respectively, are the highest seeds, yet they're both in the ACC. Saturday and Sunday, the average margin of victory was 16.1 points per game, the largest since 1975. So what that tells you is we have a top-heavy NCAA tournament, that the best teams are performing like the best teams, and that the tournament selection committee seeded them 1-4 for a reason, and they're performing as such. And we do not have any of the Cinderellas historically, Florida Gulf Coast, St. Peter's, Wichita State at the time no longer feel that way. VCU at the time no longer feel that way. Butler at the time no longer feel that way. FAU last year. We don't have those, and I think it's going to make for a great Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday coming up this week. Obviously did not as much this past weekend.
But when you think about March Madness,
mm-hmm.
Part of the reason why we love this tournament and what separates it from other postseasons throughout sports is that there is a level of unpredictability, and that there is that chance that a team who we don't know about and who has really no chance on paper of winning a game against a higher seeded opponent gets it done, and they get hot at the right time and they go on a magical run. That's part of the reason why we love this specific tournament. And even though NC State is an 11 seed, it doesn't feel like the same Cinderella as a lot of the other ones in the past, but they fit the criteria, but it doesn't feel as shocking or dramatic. But I think that it's part of why we love this, and it's lacking a little bit this year. I don't disagree with you and the fact that I think we're going to get some high-quality matchups moving forward with the best teams in the country, but part of the reason why we love this is also missing from this equation.
Okay, so flat out, this tournament is not that good for you so far. Outside of your school in Illinois,
it's great for me, personally.
Okay, so 15 of the 16, kind of boring for you.
Kind of.
Because no Cinderellas.
Kind of. Like when NC State is the best Cinderella up until this point in the tournament, it's a little different.
So Michelle Smallman is happier today. I'm just going through this here. If James Madison had beaten Duke,
Big time.
Colorado beating Marquette doesn't.
I was watching that game. I was hoping for it.
Right, but Colorado's still in a Power 5 conference, right?
Yes.
I mean, so, okay. Utah State over Purdue, theoretically, makes you happier today.
Would have loved it.
Okay. I'm just Dayton over Arizona makes you happier.
Big time.
Grand Canyon over Alabama makes you happier.
Yes, of course. Grand Canyon? Evan. Yes.
Wasn't that an online school? Or is that, at some point, was Grand Canyon not an online school? I'm not saying anything's wrong with an online school, but at some point,
But the fact that you don't even know that, wouldn't it be great if they would have won that game?
No, I actually do know that, because Dan Marley was once the head coach under Dan, and I think Bryce Drew is the head coach now, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I actually know a little bit about that.
They are, and they were fined millions by the government.
for whatever. Yeah, they are. Grand Canyon is an online school, and they were fined millions by the federal education for some sort of practices.
I was right about that?
Yes.
And you were laughing at me saying, of course they're not.
I didn't say, of course they're not. I was just saying the fact that we're even having that conversation that we didn't know the details about that school, wouldn't that be a great story if they continued on in the tournament?
No. You know what's a great story? Like in every other sport, when the teams that are great throughout the regular season perform great in the postseason and we get the best possible teams in the biggest possible games. Like, you know what was great this year? Having the San Francisco 49ers, who are the best team in the NFC, go up against the defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs. That was great.
The Kansas City Chiefs were not the best team in the regular season.
I understand that, but it's Mahomes and Reed, right?
Yes, but they were not the best team in the regular season.
But Smalls, people
by
right
a
now,
long shot.
People right now would love to see the Celtics and the Nuggets in the NBA Finals. The defending champs against the best team overall in the regular season, the Boston Celtics. In Major League Baseball, if I told you the Dodgers and the Yankees, theoretically, I mean, no, they're not the best team, but like the big brand names, the Dodgers and the Yankees were in the World Series. People are okay with that. People are happy with that. You want these teams that if they won yesterday or Saturday are going to get pummeled this week.
You might want that in the Final Four and the National Championship game, the best teams to be there for those.
Yes.
Ones. But to have a Cinderella advance to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, that's what makes this tournament special.
I am guaranteed to have the best teams in the Final Four in the title now because there are no bad teams left. There are no Cinderellas. What you're saying is fine if we get there and it's that. I am guaranteed to have that. Why would I not be happy about that right now? Why would I not look at this and say, hey, this is a really good thing that the teams that performed the best over the course of the regular season, UConn, Purdue, Houston, UNC, Arizona, Tennessee, Marquette, Iowa State, every 1-2 is still alive. Why is that not great? Isn't that the purpose of why we do this?
Not this specific tournament. One of the best characteristics of this is unpredictability. It's of there being an underdog that advances despite all of the odds and the obstacles that are in front of them. And we as a country are galvanized around the underdog. We love falling in love with these teams that no one expected. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking at NC State as an 11 seed, being that Cinderella who's advancing to the Sweet 16. But I'm talking about these small schools that we don't like. The fact that Oakland has a big upset and we have the head coach on who's been there for 40 years.
It's a great story.
And we're learning about them. And then all of a sudden they're on the map in a different way. And everybody is cheering for them and hoping that they can continue to do the impossible. We don't really have that this year.
Right. So you want the NCAA tournament to do the due diligence of all of us as fans who did not pay attention to the majority of these schools all year so that they can teach us about this. Instead, what's happening is we're getting the best teams winning the most games. Like, so people love the beauty of the NCAA tournament because it actually doesn't crown the right champion. That's why you love the NCAA tournament.
No, it usually does.
It actually doesn't a lot of times.
Usually it's one
of the... Was Connecticut actually the best team from start to finish last year like they are this year? I don't think so. They got hot. I mean, the Kemba Walker year, Shabazz Napier year. Connecticut's unbelievable. It's arguably the best it is the best basketball program when you factor men's and women's in America by far, right? But their championships a lot of times have been when they got hot in the NCAA tournament. That's great. They won games at the right time. This year we have a chance for the best teams that started the season in November to also be the best teams when we finish the season in April. I don't know why we're complaining about that.
But usually by the time we get to the Final Four, it's higher seeded teams that are there. Maybe it's not the number one best team in the country because they got bounced early. Or earlier in the tournament. But usually once we get to those rounds, there may be a Cinderella hanging around, but that's pretty rare.
888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is your telephone number to join the show. It's on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. CeCe back with us tomorrow. In or out on this tournament not having Cinderella? Smalls is out on it, thinks it's been boring as a result. I love it because it means we're going to have the best teams the whole way here. Brian in North Carolina listening on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. What's up, Brian?
Well, let me quickly make a case for the Wolfpack, who had lost four in a row and then turned around and won five straight to win the ACC tournament. Now two more. I mean, that's a pretty good story there. So even that they're from a major conference, you got to like that.
Right. Wait, so wait, slow down. Hold on. Brian, I'm going to let you finish. I want to point something out, right? You are correct. And as our buddy Peter Burns tweeted at Peter Burns ESPN from the SEC Network, said about your squad, NC State, 10th in the ACC standings, 5 wins in 5 days to win the NCAA tournament, 7 wins in 12 days to make the Sweet 16. You are right. Those would be the characteristics of a Cinderella. I know what NC State is. Smalls knows what NC State is. We can name players historically that went there, and we know coaches that coached there, and they play in the ACC. It's harder for me personally to wrap my mind around a Power 5 conference team as a Cinderella. That's just for me. Go ahead.
I got you, but they got the beefy big boy, too, so they got America's sweetheart.
Totally.
So what's not to like about that? But also, let me just wrap with this.
Yeah.
We had overtime games. We had double overtime thriller this weekend, and all the games looking ahead to Thursday and Friday look outstanding.
That's the point. Because if I told you, and thank you for the phone call, even though Houston needed overtime against Texas A&M, if I told you it was Houston and James Madison, you know what's going to happen. I mean, let's be honest.
You don't.
You do.
And that's what should make this great, is that you don't know what's going to happen.
You do. Andre in Maine, listening on Sirius XM 80. What's up, Andre?
Hey, good morning. Love the show. I got to agree with Smalls on this one. The parity throughout the season becomes part of the narrative. But when you have some of these underdogs that the teams, kind of like George Mason did a couple years ago or many years ago at this point, or Villanova on that last second shot against North Carolina to bring down the big dog, that's what makes this tournament great. And that's what people tune in for, to kind of see this Oakland, that kid hitting 10 threes, shooting 20 of them in the game. Like, this is what we all kind of tune in for and, like, take off work and split to all these places. So I agree with Smalls on this one. We need some more underdogs to get through.
Understood. But you bring up George Mason. I've been to a lot of Final Fours. Must be nice. No?
Must be nice.
I've been to a lot of Final Four games. That was the worst Final Four game I've ever been to in my life. George Mason against Florida was awful. That was literally NBA players against players that, to their credit, somehow, some way, made it to the Final Four that were never going to play in the NBA in any way, shape, or form. Their head coach, Jim Larrañaga, phenomenal job. Goes on to coach at Miami for years and is still the coach at Miami. I get that. It was awful. It was awful. I don't want the Cinderellas in the Final Four, and thankfully this year I won't have to worry about that.
But just because we have top seeds that have advanced to this point doesn't mean that we're not going to see any blowouts.
We may see blowouts. You're right about that.
It's not a guarantee that you're going to get the competition that you're looking for.
It's less likely. Maybe UConn would blow out San Diego State. Maybe, just because UConn is a juggernaut at this point. All right, coming up, all the
small things.
Next, it's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for all the small things here on Unsportsmanlike. I am Michelle Smallman alongside Evan Cohen, Chris Canty out for the day. We'll be back tomorrow. So let's go over some of my favorite things that happened over the weekend in the wide world of sports. So we've been talking about Cinderellas, about upsets in the NCAA tournament. Number 13, Yale, defeated number 4, Auburn, 78-76, which is a great story in itself. But emerging from that, Evan, is another great story that happened at the game. So Yale sent their cheer team, but they weren't able to send their band to the game for March Madness. Idaho found out about this, a University of Idaho pep band, and they wanted to help out Yale. So they learned the Yale fight song, came up with their own merch to go out and play for Yale and support them. The Vandal Marching Band called themselves the Van Dogs, and they came out and they played the fight song for Yale. Isn't that a great story and a great example of sportsmanship?
Love it. Brilliant all around. And legally, morally, ethically, for a day, you could say I'm a Yale student. Because I would have no other way of ever saying that I could get into Yale other than, hey, I'm a fill-in on the band. Now I'm a Yale student for a day.
I'm a Van Dog.
Can you say, like, on your resume post-college that I was part of the Yale band?
Sure. Why not? You were.
I mean, but then it looks like you went to Yale.
So during the pandemic, Yale made their most popular course available to the public. It was about the science of happiness. They had a wait list for years on it.
I certainly didn't take that.
Well, I took it during the pandemic. I completed the course from Dr. Lori Santos. So does that mean that I can put Yale on my resume?
Wait, okay, so you took a singular course.
Yes, an online course. The science, I believe it's called The Science of Happiness.
I mean, you're not a graduate.
But I took a class.
You're a graduate of a Yale course.
Correct.
I don't know how to answer that. You have officially stumped me. I have no idea how to answer that
question. Well, if you're saying that the Van Dogs can say for one day we were part of the Yale
band. I think you have more
of
a case than they do.
Yeah.
Did you pay money?
No, it was free. Because people were struggling during the pandemic and the course really highlights and gives you the tools to realize what actually brings you happiness in your life. And I think a lot of people could have used that at that time. So they opened it up to everybody, which was remarkable.
All right,
I took
play this out one more time. We have to have the Charmed studio back there in Vegas East. Weigh in on this. You take a free online course from Yale.
Correct.
Can you put that on your resume as a Yale student? I think yes. Pat, Nuno, Javante?
That feels like it's at the bottom of it, and it's like certificate from Yale or something. Like, because then you become into those situations of kind of lying on your resume.
Yeah, I mean, if I watch a bunch of Dan Orlovsky breakdown videos, that doesn't make me an analyst.
Yeah, but she took the course.
Yeah, okay.
Javante, you have the single best degree of any of us. You went to Michigan.
I mean, yeah, we'll count it. Why not?
All right. Michigan grad says you're a Yale grad. Congratulations, Smalls.
All right. Go Bulldogs. Here
okay.
we go.
All right. Look forward to you telling Brad Underwood that when we have him on in an hour.
Oh, please.
Illinois
come
coach.
On. Come on.
I'm going to now say you're a Yale grad.
I am a proud graduate of the University of Illinois.
And Yale.
For one class.
Next one, Smalls.
Next one. So the New York Jets are about as big of a talking point as there is in the NFL, maybe outside of the Dallas Cowboys. We did not talk about any team as much as we talked about the New York Jets last season for all of the wrong reasons, Evan. Well, Robert Saleh, their head coach, did an interview with NFL Network, specifically with Steve Wyche, at the league meetings on Sunday. And here's what he had to say about the approach last year and what they want to do differently moving into next year. He says, I think Joe, meaning general manager Joe Douglas, has done a really nice job adding some really cool pieces to the football team. But yeah, quiet. Last year was a little loud. We welcome a bit of quietness. The only way seemingly that they can quiet things down, as far as my perspective goes, is to have their quarterback not doing interviews and not making headlines. Do you think that this is a precursor to them indicating that maybe they will have eight rein that in a little bit this year?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they have say. Aaron Rodgers is a grown man. Aaron Rodgers has his own business ventures. Aaron Rodgers has his own relationships. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to join the Pat McAfee show, which obviously for us at ESPN is great, provides us content every single week, then Aaron Rodgers is going to do that. I think the moment that Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas say to Aaron Rodgers, we don't want you doing that, we are not going to permit you from doing that, he will not want to be there anymore. I think part of him wanting to be with the Jets is to have the full-fledged freedom that he wanted in Green Bay. And the say that he wanted in Green Bay that he didn't necessarily have.
Well, then you can't say that you want it to be quiet this year and still take the exact same approach with your quarterback. Because it's going to be anything but quiet.
You're right. So you're saying that unintentionally, Robert Saleh put even more pressure on himself Correct. Because the moment that Rodgers starts his weekly show with McAfee, Salah is now not living up to an expectation he voluntarily set for himself.
Yes.
Oh, good. All right, great.
To be clear, I love that Aaron Rodgers does those interviews with our Pat McAfee. It gives us a lot to talk about. But when your head coach is saying, last year was a lot, we didn't like the noise, we are hoping it's quiet this year, to me that is a direct implication or a direct assumption, or I don't even know the correct phrasing here. To me, he's talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be talking about Aaron Rodgers, whether he's saying it or not.
Yeah.
So the question I have then is, what are you, as the head coach, going to do about it, if anything?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Next one.
Hold on real quick before we go to that. Smalls, I got a text from our friend Andre Snellens, Dr. Z.
Love Andre. Truly,
he said you can put attended classes at Yale University.
Okay.
That's what you
can do.
Whoa, no, she can't. That's what the professor or doctor
says. This is the first time I will ever be able to correct Andre, who is the smartest guy around.
He is very smart.
It cannot be plural. Attended a class.
Well, attended class at Yale University, yes.
Because that's a lot. You attended the one singular session, correct?
No, it was over many weeks.
I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you could put attended class at Yale University.
Attended class at Yale University.
When we say at Yale University, I feel like that implies that you went there.
I did go there once when I lived in Connecticut.
You can't say that. I went there once. And you think it can go on your resume?
I brought a long sleeve t-shirt there. I bought a long sleeve tee when I was there.
You're officially a Yaley.
Thank you. I'm a Yaley.
Okay. Next.
Next one. Speaking of comments made in the NFL from head coaches, Sean McDermott had some interesting comments via NFL.com about how he is viewing success through the lens of what the Buffalo Bills have accomplished. Here's what he said. I think like anything, when you talk about the Bills, whether it's Josh, myself, our team, we've had so much success. What's left for Josh and for all of us is to take that one more step we needed to take. To say we haven't had success or Josh hasn't had success, I think it would be kind of narrow-minded. It's hard to win in the NFL. So you kind of regroup every year and you take it one game at a time. But we're all looking for Josh to really be the face of the franchise as he's been and continuing to evolve like he's always done. Agree or disagree with what Sean McDermott says that it's narrow-minded to suggest that the Bills and or Josh Allen have not had success during that tenure?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what he's saying. I think you take this stuff in stages. Like, if you did not expect Josh Allen to be a franchise quarterback, the first 4 or 5 years of his career, establishing himself as their franchise quarterback is a success. Once you've hit the level of success and you're going to deem you have a franchise quarterback and you have a top five quarterback in the league per their vision of Josh Allen, you then are required by expectation to win and win big. They haven't done that yet, right? So first step, are they a success? Yes, because of the fact that they found a franchise quarterback. Step two, have they done enough with that franchise quarterback? No, right? Like, I think if you look at a lot of other teams around the league, are they a success? Well, no, they don't have a franchise quarterback. If the Kansas City Chiefs, like the Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, are they a success? Yeah, they found their franchise quarterback.
He's won two MVPs.
He's phenomenal, but they haven't won a Super Bowl.
Correct.
We only look at not achieving the highest of levels out of respect. You said it all year with Josh Allen. We are tough on Josh Allen because we think he's capable of doing that.
Right.
Whereas we're probably not tough on Tua because we don't think he's capable of doing that. Just to stay in that division, right? We don't look at Deshaun Watson and say, boy, you haven't had success. We don't even worry about that because he's not at that level of being a franchise quarterback for the Browns. Derek Carr. I'm just bringing up random names here, right? Once you're established as a franchise quarterback, like everyone seems to think Josh Allen is, well, then you got to win. You got to win big.
But we don't hold other quarterbacks to that same standard. Like, Joe Burrow doesn't take the same heat that Josh Allen does.
He will this year if he's healthy and they don't perform.
But he's gone
to
a Super Bowl, so I think it's a little different.
Well, right. You made your own point.
I know, but we don't get – he still hasn't won it, though. If we're using this as the lens of success, winning a Super Bowl, he still hasn't won it.
Somebody that has won it at the women's college level as a head coach is Carolyn Peck. She will join us next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
CC back with us tomorrow. NCAA Women's Tournament in full effect right now. Boy, South Carolina is unbelievable. And joining us now to talk more about it, Carolyn Peck, ESPN, SEC Network College Basketball Analyst, and of course, National Championship Head Coach, along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen, with you. All right, Coach, we got to start off with the off-the-court stuff. As you know, the Kim Mulkey press conference created a lot of waves. What is your take on what is going on with Mulkey and how she handled it?
You know, when you look at it, I say, as a coach, get ahead of it. So many times there are articles or there are books or everybody right now trying to get that gotcha moment. I think she said what she said, get it out of the way, refocused on her team, and we just have to wait to see what happens. I think that it may have been a little bit of a distraction for players the start of that Middle Tennessee game, but they got back on track in the second half, and now they're really staying focused and staying really in a zone.
Yeah, Carolyn, I was going to ask you about the distraction that it could potentially be for the team when you know that there are people talking about you and there's all this added external pressure. As a coach, how do you make sure that your team stays focused?
Yeah, I've called LSU's game several times this season. The one thing I know is the players that she has right now, they love her. They play hard for her, and I think that it can really be a motivating factor for her players to get behind her.
Karen, let's talk about South Carolina. Undefeated, obviously, all season long. They have been pummeling teams so far in the tournaments. Can they be beaten?
Look, the way they looked last night, I think it would be hard for anybody to match that. Now, can they muster up that intensity and play that well for the next five games? If they can, I think they'll be the team cutting down the nets in Cleveland.
Carolyn, is there a team that you've seen in the tournament so far that you think could really challenge South Carolina or potentially beat them? Is there a team that you've circled?
I have USC. I got the two USCs in the championship game. Mm-hmm. Southern Cal and South Carolina meeting in the championship. They're playing well, too, and Juju Watkins is one heck of a ball player, but there's another freshman, Malaysia Fulwiley at South Carolina, that is wiling out. She has, ever since back November 30th, she only played 3 minutes against North Carolina, and Don didn't play her the rest of that game, 3 minutes, and she sat. And she let that freshman sit with it, and then she had a discussion with her the next day and asked her, did she know why she didn't play? And Malaysia really didn't know. And Dawn pointed out, it was your defense. She fixed that. She's a very coachable player, and it's like you can program her to tell her, look, this is what you need to do, and she takes it to another level. She did that in the SEC tournament, being the MVP of that tournament, and she has not taken her foot off the gas. And when she's playing that way, now they have Camila Cardoso back, who put up a double-double yesterday. They have 10 players that Dawn can play. Her second five could also be competing on as a team in this tournament, in the NCAA tournament. They're that good. And so when you have that kind of depth, they're playing with that kind of focus. And remember, Raven Johnson said this is a revenge tour. So they are playing with that motivational chip on their shoulder.
We're talking with Carolyn Peck, ESPN and SEC Network college basketball analyst. Wait a minute. I got to go back there for a second, because when we look at this South Carolina team, so far this season, they have won 34 straight to start the season, which is actually not as good as last year, amazingly enough. They had 36 straight. And you just said their second five would be competitive. Like, how high of a seed would the South Carolina second five be in your mind?
I think they would have been able to host. would have been a top four seed. You've got, coming off the bench, you've got Tessa Johnson, who came in hitting threes yesterday. You also have Saniya Fagan that come in at the post. Like, they are just at every position. They've got a rotation that is really, when Dawn Staley goes to her bench, it really doesn't fall off.
That's remarkable. All right, let's talk about Caitlin Clark in Iowa. They play tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. The viral clip from over the weekend was her kind of complaining to the ref and her dad saying, just play in the stands. That was a great moment, and just watching that. What do we need to know about Iowa, West Virginia tonight?
Iowa, you know, they're playing with a focus, too, and everybody on that team is playing for Caitlin Clark. They're a very close-knit group. They're going to have to take care of the basketball, because defensively, West Virginia is going to throw the kitchen sink at them. And I think that they're a team that can score off their defense, still score in transition. Can Iowa take care of the basketball? Can West Virginia get on Caitlin Clark's left shoulder? Because when she goes left, that three is automatic, and they've got to pick her up early. I would expect some full court pressure. You know, I think that game will be decided early. If West Virginia is forcing turnovers or making it hard for Iowa to score, then it's going to be a close ball game throughout. If Iowa gets out of the gates early, running in transition and shooting the three, then I think Iowa will handle the Mountaineers.
Carolyn, we have talked so much about Caitlin Clark, about the women's game, not only just this season, but in the seasons past. And the women's game, there's been stars in years past, but what do you think it is about this crop of women and the stars that are in the game now that has commanded so much more interest and so many more eyeballs to the game?
Michelle, that's a great question. And I think a lot of it is due to now women's basketball. And our network and other networks are putting women's basketball on TV everywhere. It's not an afterthought. They're very intentional, because there's great talent across the country. You got Juju Watkins out west. You got Madison Booker, who came in, and also a freshman in Texas. You had Audie Crooks at Iowa State. You got Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame. And I think that now people are getting an opportunity to see these women play and recognize the talent that's on the floor. But South Carolina, I was there yesterday, lined up not just down one street. It was like every entrance going into Colonial Life Arena, there was a line outside. We had a drone view of that. And they've been doing that for 10 years. But now it's everywhere you go. It's in Iowa. It's out in California. Like, people are understanding women's basketball is a great sport to watch, and the talent. And I think a lot of that has to do with going back to 1997 when the WNBA started. Now these young girls have role models that are women that play. So they've started working on their game at an early age. And so now they're ready to perform on this stage.
Last thing here with Carolyn Peck, ESPN and SEC Network college basketball analyst, doing a tremendous job for us here last couple of weeks on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. one of the things that I've always liked about the women's game, that the men's game is actually following this year, and Smalls doesn't like this, just to be clear, Michelle doesn't like this part of it, is the lack of Cinderellas. I don't want the Cinderella. I want the best teams competing at the end. I want South Carolina and LSU and USC and Iowa, etc. Carolyn, where are you on this, on the pro-Cinderella or anti-Cinderella in the NCAA tournament?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, the Cinderella story, it always gives you, you know, that one team to get behind. But there's such, yeah, there's such great talent across the board. I think it's hard to have a Cinderella. I mean, you look at today's games, you got Ole Miss playing Notre Dame, Tennessee playing NC State, you know, Syracuse versus UConn. Now, there's one that you want to pull for, because De'Asia Fair at Syracuse transferring in, and what she's done to carry this team and rejuvenate that program. But you know, you're facing a star in a Paige Beckers that has fought back from injury to be playing the way that she is. I think that there's just key stories. I don't think there's Cinderellas that are really going to happen in the women's side.
Carolyn, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll watch you, obviously, across all of the ESPN family and networks today for the women's tournament.
Thank you.
All right, there is Carolyn Peck, of course, national championship-winning head coach, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guess who had something to say yesterday?
Who?
Jerry Jones.
Oh, that's rare.
Yeah, we'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio.
Owners meetings are going on right now in the NFL in Orlando. Coaches breakfast, which is always fascinating. I've been to a couple of those where the coaches are literally at times eating breakfast, drinking their orange juice as all of the media members are just huddled around them. Before we get to what Jerry Jones had to say, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, tweeted out the following about Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
I would hope so. not like Pat, who's watching Charmed.
Without the sound on.
Jim Harbaugh doubled down on J.J. McCarthy. Quote, I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. He said from the AFC coach's breakfast, says a killer comes out when adversity hits. You know, one thing about J.J. McCarthy, Michigan quarterback, and obviously there's some bias there with Harbaugh, his coach in college. I do find it interesting that we hold it against him that he did exactly what the coaches asked him to do and won as many games as he did, because he didn't do more than what the coaches asked him to do. He just simply did what they asked him to do. And we hold it against him in some ways. Like, yeah. Nuno, our producer, is so adamant that his Giants do not draft this guy. He gets so agitated.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, Nuno, am I wrong on this?
Nuno, you don't want J.J. McCarthy?
I do not. That is correct.
Why not?
There's just something about the fact that we're going with this, oh, the offense, that's why you didn't see the best of him, and once he's let loose, he's going to be great. Hey, Harbaugh, if he was this great, why didn't you, like, let him loose during the season? And then, I don't know if you guys saw it during the press.
Wait, Nuno, I got to interrupt for 1 second. Mm-hmm. Because if people are watching on ESPNU, they see Pat throwing his hands up in the air, and one would think that that is to the takes that Nuno has had.
It's not. It's
to Charmed.
I'm so confused.
What's happening? Give us a play-by-play.
They're all Greek gods for some reason, and they're in something that looks like heaven, but they were just in the rain, and now they're back in heaven, and everyone in heaven was dead, but now they're alive again. All right. I don't know what's going on.
At what point does Justin, our boss, go from thinking this is funny and a good bit to why doesn't the producer pay attention to the show?
I'm listening. Nuno hates J.J. McCarthy. Who cares?
Who cares?
Pretty much. Right?
Go ahead, Smalls.
Nuno, would you rather roll with Daniel Jones than you would try out J.J. McCarthy?
See.
Because those are your options.
Well, I don't think McCarthy is going to. Whoever they draft, if they draft a quarterback at 6, which I don't think they'll be able to, or if they move up to 4, isn't playing, right? And it sounds like...
Which is a good thing.
Yes, which it sounds like Daniel Jones isn't going to be healthy for week 1, so that's why you brought in Drew Lock, and it is a good thing, right? But what scared me, and Javonte joked about this earlier this morning, is the last throw, I guess, of his pro day on Friday. It was one of these 65-yard across his body to, and it reminded everyone of the Zach Wilson throw on his pro day. And it's just like, here we go. Like, those are the comps that all of a sudden
in your head, you've thought, oh, my team is now going to be drafting Zach Wilson. That's where you've gone. And that's, I get that. But again, if you don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a good pro, fine. That's okay. But it's just amazing to me how much we hold against him. That, think about in general, your boss in any walk of life asks you to do something. Here are the 10 things that I want you to do in your job. And we are going to hold it against J.J. McCarthy that he's not doing the 11th thing when he's never asked to do that.
We held it against Brock Purdy.
But
yes, it's an excellent comparison.
But all of a sudden, but your boss is out here telling people how great you are and that you can do all these things, but he didn't let you do them. Let's just do this.
Weird comparison, but you as a North Carolina basketball fan, what's the old joke? The only person to ever hold Michael Jordan back was Dean Smith.
Exactly.
Right? And Dean Smith was not holding Michael back as much as he was asking Michael to perform within the system that they created at North Carolina that was best suited for them to win games at North Carolina. That's not to say that if J.J. McCarthy gets drafted by the Minnesota Vikings, let's just say, in a trade-up with Arizona, that Kevin O'Connell, their head coach, may ask him to do things that he was not asked to do at Michigan, and he may be successful.
All right, Evan, your team has a third pick. Sorry, Michelle. Everyone's fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy, and I know Mel has numerous times said, oh, he's quote-unquote catching Drake May. If all of a sudden J.J. McCarthy is the pick for New England instead of Drake May, how are you going to feel about
that? Well, okay, my answer is kind of incomplete, Nuno, because I don't know anything about the way in which my new head coach and Gerard Mayo is going to coach. So let's just do it based on what I knew. If Belichick was the coach and he picked J.J. McCarthy, and the way in which he played at Michigan would fit the way in which Belichick would ask him to go about things. I don't know that Gerard Mayo is going to do the same thing. You know, Belichick was still playing an evolved version, or no, devolved, worse version, let's say, of the Brady offense, and nobody could do it like Brady, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to answer that question. But I would think that Jaden Daniels and Drake May have more upside based on the fact that they showed more. But if you're telling me J.J. McCarthy is accurate with the football and doesn't lose, isn't that a turn-on, not a turn-off? What's so funny about that?
Pat,
what just happened here?
Javonte's invested, too. Piper was crying. We're not sure if she's dead.
Who? Piper?
Piper.
Who's Piper?
She's in Charmed.
Which one is she?
She's James Harden.
She's James Harden. The James Harden of Charms. Got it.
Not the Alyssa Milano one or the other one.
Piper. Got it.
Yes, she's the Piper one.
Well, you missed Evan saying that certain things J.J. McCarthy does should be a turn-on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get what you're saying, that he's malleable and that he did exactly what was asked of him and he should be applauded for executing the job that he was given.
Yes.
At the highest of levels.
Right.
Because he won a national championship.
Yes.
But when you're going to the NFL and you're going to be the hope of the future of a franchise,
right,
you're kind of hoping that you have seen the very, very best of what that person can do. Like, whoever picks Jaden Daniels has seen him perform at an elite, elite level in many different ways. They know what they're going to get from him. Same from Caleb Williams. There are still lingering questions about J.J. McCarthy's ability to do certain things, despite the fact that he did his job to the very best of his abilities based on what was asked of him. But going to the next level, you don't know if he's going to be able to be transformational like a C.J. Stroud.
But if I put him in an offense, hypothetically, with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson? like, just be the same guy you were at Michigan at a higher level. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not ridiculous to think. Now, I mentioned that Jerry Jones spoke yesterday. Now, he said this about Dak Prescott. Quote, I think there are a handful or more of quarterbacks playing who haven't won a Super Bowl that will win a Super Bowl. I think Dak is one of them. I'm firm there. He's one of the ones who can.
So then pay him. I think this is pretty easy then, Jerry. If you're so firm in your stance that Dak is one of the quarterbacks in the NFL who hasn't won a Super Bowl but can win a Super Bowl, then why are you wasting time and not signing this person to the new contract? It makes absolutely no sense to me at all.
So can he win a Super Bowl at the contract that Jerry Jones will have to give him? And that's the thing that we don't know how Jerry feels about, right? Like, Jerry Jones has to be smart enough to understand that at this point in Dak Prescott's life, with this amount of these amount of accomplishments, he is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the history of this sport. He is an unrestricted free agent at a perfect time when players that are as good as Dak Prescott never actually hit unrestricted free agency. So if you're going to go out there, Jerry Jones, and say that Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl and that he's going to win a Super Bowl, you have to do that under the premise that he's going to make $60 million a year, which means you're not going to have as much to pay everyone else on your team. So when I hear him say that, then I better see him do that. Or else follow it up by saying, I think he can win a Super Bowl if he takes Brock Purdy's contract. Well, so do I. But he's not going to take Brock Purdy's contract. He's going to rightfully and understandably take $50+ million a year because that is what someone is going to give him, Smalls.
But based on that statement, I think Dak is one of them. I'm firm there. He's one of the ones who can, meaning he can win a Super Bowl. If he gets you one Super Bowl, it's worth every penny that you would have paid him.
Correct.
Every single penny. So Jerry Jones is negotiating against himself with these arguments.
But there is a difference between winning a Super Bowl at low cost versus high cost, because it's the team around you that you will have or won't have, depending on what your cost is. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.